The first thing that I want to just say tonight, Pastor Jim and Debbie are not here, but I was out of the ministry for about 6 months and had two cancer operations and radiation and all the stuff you're supposed to have. And Pastor Jim sent us money so we could live. And I just want to thank the church and thank them. Just awesome. Just amazing. He didn't do it once. Money showed up in an account, and I went, where did this come from? And I'm going through, I said, the rock. And so I called him, did you send some money? Yeah. You didn't tell me? No, just, that's there. So we thank God for it. We appreciate it very, very much. So I've been back about 10 weeks. And I'm doing great. Yeah. Anyone here that's had cancer will understand this. You have to go back to your specialist every so many months. They check you out and tell you all the things that you're supposed to hear and all that kind of stuff. So in the first checkup, I go in and I walked in the office and I looked at the doctor. I said, don't say anything. I said, let me tell you something. I don't care what you tell me today. I'm leaving. I'm starting ministry tomorrow. I'm flying out to New Zealand. He said, when? I said, as soon as I walk out of this office, I'm going to the airport. I'm catching a plane. I'm starting ministry tomorrow. I don't care what you tell me. Come on. Yeah. I said, I've had enough of this stuff. He said, I'm the doctor. And I said, and I'm the... And so I've had two checkups and everything's cool. Yeah. All right, got your Bibles. I want to talk to you tonight about the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody shout out loud the word power.
Power.
Oh, that was awesome. Say it again, please.
Power.
Oh, let's do it for a third time.
Power.
Marvelous. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You'll know it. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now Luke 24, verse 49. Jesus speaking. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. At 15 years of age, I got saved, and many of you know the story. I got saved every Sunday night for 3 years. Billy Graham came to town and I got saved 5 more nights. I had a heart for God. Didn't understand everything, just chasing God. They announced they were going to have a water baptismal service. I didn't have any understanding of it, but they were going to have it. I've since observed in the New Testament that Christianity is an experience followed by teaching. Today we try to get teaching, then the experience. Not against teaching. So they'd had 1,000 first-time decisions for Christ in the next year after I got saved. Nothing to do with me. So once a month they'd rent a public swimming pool on a Saturday morning and baptize converts, up to 400 converts. Saturday I was there, 200. And as I'm standing there, I'm watching them getting baptized, and a phenomena was happening. They would put them down, thank God, bring them up. And then the people would throw their hands in the air, fall backwards, and would be laying on their back on the water with their hands in the air, speaking in what I thought was a foreign language. And I said to the pastors, I can't do that. I know if I put my hands up laying on my back, I'll sink. And I don't know the language. Finally, they're just about at the end when one of the pastors yells at me, get in. So I get in, they baptize me. And the next thing I remember, my feet were going down and touching the bottom of the pool. And I too had been laying on my back with my hands in the air, having an experience with God. Supernatural. Supernatural. I go to church Sunday night, and they said, what do you want? I said, what I got at baptism. What was that? I don't know, but it felt good. I know some churches you go out of and you don't feel good. Next Sunday night, what do you want? What I got last Sunday night. What was that? Well, I don't know, what I got at baptism. And the pastor said, you need the Holy Ghost. All right, give it to me. We was ignorant, man. My mother jumps up and says, let somebody else get it. They prayed for me. Evidently, I went down under the power of God on the floor, never having seen it before. No CD, courtesy drop. Evidently, they carried me out of the building at 1 o'clock in the morning, shouting in other tongues. Couldn't drive home. Threw me on the bed. When I got up in the morning, every time I opened my mouth for the next 24 hours, out would come this new language. Hallelujah. Had a visitation of God. He came to me. And he said, you're going to be an evangelist. Well, I didn't know what an evangelist was, but it was a long word, so I thought it was good. You're going to preach around the world. Tens of thousands of people a night on occasions will come to Christ. Thousands will get healed night by night at times. And a man will come from the United States of America and release you in around the world ministry. That turned out to be John Osteen. Amazing. I went from being a young man full of fear and inferiority to somebody all of a sudden who had power over those things and knew what he was going to do with the rest of his life. There are two Greek words translated power in the New Testament. You'll know them. One is exousia, which means power released under authority. The second one is dunamis, explosive power. also translated miraculous might, ability, mighty deed, miracle strength, virtue, worker of miracles. Dunamis is inherent power capable of action. Power in action. Power released under authority is potent. Without authority, it is dangerous. We cannot be an authority unless we are under authority. God is not into independence. He's into interdependence. Kathy and I have had to pick up the pieces of men and women that had incredible power, but were independent and wouldn't come under authority and crashed and burned. We get three English words from the word dunamis, power. The first one is dynamics, a branch of physics dealing with force producing or affecting motion. Second one, dynamo. A dynamo converts mechanical energy into electrical power. And the third one is dynamite. A highly explosive force such as nitroglycerine. In Acts 1:8 it says, our reading, you shall receive dunamis, power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In Luke 24:49, he talked about the fact we will be endued with power, dunamis. There's special emphasis on Luke 24, verse 49, because the last words of a dying person are incredibly important, and these were the last words of Jesus before his ascension, and he's saying, you need the power, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, when I read it, I discover two things. Number one, God is a God of love, but he's also a God of power. Number two, people received his power through the Holy Spirit. God wants to demonstrate to the world his mighty, powerful, miracle-working, supernatural power through his believers. This power, this dunamis, is living and abiding and residing within you and I if we're filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know why, but for some reason, many of us have got the idea that it's only the people behind the pulpit that have this tremendous power, when in fact the Bible teaches it's every believer. You have the dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Come on. When something goes wrong at home, don't go, oh God, what are we going to do? You've got dunamis. Use it. Oh, call the church. Well, that's all right. But you've got the dunamis of the Holy Spirit, the power of God living and abiding within you. When something happens to your children, I'm trying, dear. Come on, something happens to your kids. Oh, God, what are we going to do? Wake up. You've got the dunamis of the Holy Ghost in you. You can pray over them. You can believe God just as easy as I can or anybody else. Many years ago, when I was pastoring in New Zealand, we went to a city to start a one-week series of meetings, and got there Saturday morning, and we're walking around downtown, the stores and everything, and I see a young man walking toward me. And the Holy Spirit says to me, I want you to minister to him. So I waited till he crossed the road. I go up to him and I politely introduce myself to him and tell him that I feel like the Holy Spirit would like me to minister to him. Is that all right? And he goes, yes. Well, even if he'd said no, I was going to do it. And I said, this is what I feel God is saying. You've been a missionary. You have fled the country that you were a missionary in because you saw an incredible demonic manifestation. You feared it. You ran. You caught a plane home to the city of Auckland. You caught a bus down here because nobody would know you. But God knows you. And he told me to tell you, your ministry's not over. He told me to tell you, you'll end up back on the mission field. Come on, hallelujah. He asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm doing some meetings. He asked if he could come, and he comes every night to the meeting. Friday night, the last night, he says, where's your church? I said, well, it's in another city. Well, can I attend that? So yes, Sunday he shows up at church. The next Sunday, his sister from another city shows up. She gets saved, baptized in water, filled with the Holy Ghost, all in the same night. I like that. For 3 years, we had baptism service every Sunday night, baptizing the converts. A week later, there's a knock on my door. I open it, a young man standing there dressed in motorcycle leathers. He yells at me, "What have you done with my girlfriend?" Well, you know who he's talking about, but I didn't. I said, who are you talking about? He describes it all. Oh, I said, her. He said, yeah, she came up to see her brother and she's not coming home. I said, then you ought to hang around and find out what she got that's so good that she ain't going to go home. He comes to church Sunday night, gets saved. Baptized in water, filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, hallelujah. He only knows two people in town, his ex-wife and her boyfriend that are living together. He goes and tells them what's happened. They come to church, they get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in water. You'll understand this. I've got a classical Pentecostal church I'm pastoring. On the front row, I've got this ex-missionary, his sister who was living with this guy that they now saved, his ex-wife and her boyfriend who are living together, and some of the old people that were built in with the bricks in my church. They said, Pastor, you got to deal with that. They're in sin. I go, I know. Well, do something. I ain't doing nothing. We can't have them in church like that. Yes, we can. Do something, Pastor. I ain't doing nothing. Because it's not my job to convict them of sin. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Come on. And when the Holy Spirit does it, He does it good. Oh, they're bringing people in all every Sunday. We're getting people saved. It's wonderful. One day I get a call from the ex-wife. She says, I hate you. I'm not living with you. I hate God. What's going on? My boyfriend. What? He got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, evidently, writes me a note, we are living in sin. The Holy Spirit has convicted me, I've got to go. Didn't even wake her up and tell her. Just flies the coop. Come on, hallelujah. She takes off, we don't know where she is. Gone. One day her ex-husband comes to me and says, Pastor Allen, I said, yeah, he said, something weird's happening. I said, what? He said, I'm falling in love with my ex-wife. I said, you know where she is? He said, no, that's what's weird. And the other weird thing is I used to hate her. He said, this is weird, man. So we were having a marriage seminar the next week. I mean, we had all these young people. I figured they may as well learn about getting married before they got married rather than after they got married. Yeah. So, on the last night of the seminar, this couple get up and say, we're going to speak about what to do when you remarry your ex-spouse. I'm sitting there thinking, this is ludicrous. Most of these are not even married. So they're teaching on it. I've never heard anything on it before or since. About a third of the way through, one of my pastors elbows me and he said, guess who just walked in? I said, I don't know. Well, stand up and have a look. I ain't stand up and have a look. That girl walked in, sat in the back row. 6 weeks later, I married her to her ex-husband. Come on, hallelujah. I'm telling this story in New Zealand a few weeks ago, and all of a sudden I hear, yeah, that's right, out of the crowd. And it was him. The welfare, that's the government department, on the Monday after the wedding called them and gave them back their kids that had been taken because of their drug abuse. Come on, hallelujah. Why am I telling you this? Well, listen to this. The guy I ministered to ended back on the mission field in New Guinea with a phenomenal revival. It's historic. I don't know what happened to his sister, except I have heard she's going on with God. But her boyfriend just started serving God in the local church as a leader. His wife, who used to be his ex-wife, became a huge Christian songwriter. The guy she used to live with pastored one of our largest churches in Australia. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because of something we didn't? No, no, no. Here's what I'm telling you. You never know when you do something under the power of the Holy Spirit where it's going to finish up. Come on, hallelujah. You never know what's going to happen. You can just minister to somebody something simple and it can have incredible worldwide ramifications. You're filled with the dunamis, the power of God. Jesus received the Holy Spirit when he was baptized at the River Jordan. After that, he started performing the miraculous. In Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 21. verse 1, it says, he's led into the Spirit. He's fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He overcomes the devil who tempts him personally three times. Verse 14, it says, he returns in the power, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit. And verses 18 to 21, he announces what he's going to do. He's going to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, open blind eyes, preach the gospel to the poor. Come on, are you hearing me? That's what happens when you come in the power, the dunamis of the Spirit. In Luke 4:36, it says, with authority, exousia, power, dunamis, Jesus commanded unclean spirits to come out, and they came out. Luke 5:17, it says, and the power, the dunamis of the Lord was present to heal them. Luke 9:1, Jesus called his disciples together and gave them power, dunamis, and authority, exousia, over all demons and to cure all diseases. Acts 6 verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, dunamis, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4. Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, dunamis. If I didn't have this dunamis in my life and ministry, I would wonder what is wrong. Going back to our reading in Luke 24, verse 49, he said, you shall be endued with power. That word endued in the original Greek language is the same word as clothed. It has a meaning in this scripture of stepping into clothing. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are endued, we step into the clothing, we are clothed with the dunamis of God. He is in us and over us. We are now divine representatives. In Acts 1:8, the word power, dunamis, not just inherent power, but power possessed. A divine capability that can be ministered in different forms. Power for service. Power to live. Power for speech. Power for miracles. Power for wisdom. Power for knowledge. For teaching. Or whatever it is needed for. We are clothed with dunamis.
Well, I don't feel like it.
It don't matter. Come on, it don't matter. It don't matter. I know that's bad English, but it don't matter. You're clothed with dunamis. You don't have to feel like it for it to be there. Let me tell you something. I'm married. Somebody say, thank God. Some days, I don't feel like I'm married. I'm just married. Come on, are you there? It's not a feeling. I'm married. Let me look at you guys. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to feel like you're married to be married. If you're married, man, you're married. That's it. It's not a feeling. When you're filled with dunamis, power, you don't have to feel like it. It's there. It's there. It's there. And that means you have the power to overcome. You have the power to rise up. You have the power to be more than a conqueror. You have the power to do the miraculous. You have the power to overcome devils and demons. You have the power to succeed in this world. This is not an arrogant statement, although one or two will probably say it is, but it's not. I am filled with the dunamis, the power of God. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. You are filled with the dunamis, the power of God. The church is meant to be a supernatural church. If it's only moving in the natural, it is out of order. We have too many low impact, high maintenance believers. Come on, are you hearing me? I say that all right, bro? Too many low impact, high maintenance believers. When all the time we're filled with the dunamis, the power of God. And we ought to be high impact, low maintenance believers. This dunamis is a present, personal, powerful reality. It is not merely a doctrine or an influence only from God. You are filled with the Holy Spirit and you have the dunamis, the power of God in you. Hallelujah. You have dynamite in you. Let's stand together, please. You may put your Bibles down. You may put your purses down. We have to say that to the guys nowadays. How you doing, man? Take your right hand and hold it up. Take this finger, point it at yourself. Say this out loud after me. God, I belong to you. I'm one of yours. I'm filled with you and your Holy Spirit. Therefore, I am filled with the dunamis, the power of God, and I can do the impossible. I can overcome. I can conquer because I do have the dunamis, the power of God, living and abiding and residing within me. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.